Wow. Sing, sing, sing. Benny Goodman. Gene Krupa beating the hell out of the Skins and doing a great job. Oh, man. And I'm going to pull a George Ionescu here. I saw Gene Krupa in performance of on performance in a high school in St. Catharines, Ontario. And it just so happened my oldest son was that time about 11 years of age, and he was sitting there mesmerized, tears rolling down his face as he watched the legendary Gene Krupa work those drums. It was a night I'll never forget, never, ever. Okay, now, I look across the studio and somebody else has joined us here. We've only got an hour left in our broadcast because at 11 o'clock it's the Conspiracy Show, and Richard Serrett is the host of that show. Richard, welcome to the studio a little bit early, my friend.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, you know, Robin, this guy.
Well, we just met. I mean, I've heard his voice dozens of times, but we just met. But, you know, I had the great pleasure of listening to the first little bit of his show last week. And now, I got to admit, Frankie, I was keeping an eye on you. I listened to the opening, made sure I was there when you closed it out. It was letter perfect. Karen and I were so thrilled. So I'm now reaching for the dial. I mean, I'm going to shut her down for the night. Then Richard comes on, and I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe I better just let this go. Sure as heck, Ian comes in, and they just go unscripted, from the heart, totally quintessential George Ionescu.
Let's recreate that moment. Pull that mic down, Ian, and have a chat with your friend, Richard Serrett.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm going to miss, Ian, is coming and getting coffee for George. That was part of my ritual. I'd wander in here at about 9:30, get George a coffee, and then he would delight in taking the Mickey out of me.
and your boys.
Yes. He had a special relationship. My 12-year-old twin boys started coming here. I'd bring them in their pajamas and house coats and their teddy bears, and they would sit just to the right of George, share a sandwich, and then on the way home, they'd say, "Hey, Dad, did you know that George had dinner with Satchmo?" And these are like 6-7-year-old kids. "Did you know George got shot in the rear end in Selma? Did you know George?" And I said, "That's why I bring you in here every Sunday or every other Sunday, because it's like being with a time machine. And what a treasure, and my boys will have that for the rest of their lives."
And you know, the thing that always amazes me, or amazed me, and still does for that matter, is that he always had time for everybody, including young operators like you, Ian. I know he just loved you, you know.
Yeah, it's for sure. Like Robin was saying before, he was a mentor to everybody he met.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, here's a young guy who is in the operating position tonight, but he's a drummer in two bands. And George just loved that fact.
Yeah, for sure. Each week he would want to hear something new from me.
Yep.
Yeah, whether it was a story or whether it was a recording. Yeah, he was interested.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the drums because I recall we just had Krupa on. Dad and I are walking through a shopping mall. It's about 12 or 13 years ago, around 2005. Fella comes up, "George, God, I'm glad I ran into you. Listen, I was watching something on YouTube last night." George says, "What the hell is YouTube?" You know, he's like in his 70s. He's a dinosaur. He looks at me. I go, "You know, Pop, it's the internet." He goes, "Oh, my God, I only thought there was porn on there." Right? This is what we're... So the guy goes on. He says, "Listen, I was watching this clip on The Tonight Show in 72, and Buddy Rich was on The Tonight Show." George looks at the guy and he says, "Ed Shaughnessy." The guy goes, "Pardon?" "Yeah, the drum duel on The Tonight Show with Doc Severinsen's band." "Yeah, his drummer was Ed Shaughnessy." So the guy hasn't even asked the question yet. The guy looks at him like he's got three heads. He goes, "I can't believe you just did that. God bless you, George. Thanks very much. Away you go." That was the facility. The other thing was the recognition of talent. This guy was part P.T. Barnum, part Branch Rickey, right?
Yeah.
This is why you guys get the best of him, because he can see your potential. I don't know how he did it. I had a great conversation yesterday with a guy that was in the studio at 16 years old, interning. And Dad takes care of this kid. Now, he goes on to a great career. He's still in the air. I'm not going to reveal his name, but his real name is Bill Allard. And he has such great memories of Dad. He had the same experience that you did, only he had it 45 years ago.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a mea culpa Well, you were telling that story. You said Buddy Rich. I went, oh, my God, that's who I saw, not Gene Krupa. It was Buddy yeah. Rich at the St. Catherine's High School. Lord love a duck. Hey, I think we're going to go to the final phone lines here. I do believe we have a longtime listener on the line.
I've listened to George for a good many years, and I have a particular memory. Called. I emailed him once about how I could find a particular song that I had heard, and George responded, if you give me your address, maybe Santa Claus can send it to you for Christmas. So he burned a CD of it for me and sent it to me. I'm loving the show tonight.
Well, thank you so much.
I'm glad you pulled this together. So sad to hear about George's passing, though. It just
There's no sadness here. It's a celebration. The this man dropped the mic and walked off the stage exactly the way he wanted to. As always, his timing was impeccable. As for the CD and the what's the double up he does at 9? Listen, it's a parlor trick. It's a card game. It's a way to get you to engage. That was Dad's currency. It's something to get the interaction with the audience. That meant the world to him. Burning a CD and putting it in the mail, hey, it's worth it. You paid him back 100 times, believe me.
Well, I appreciated it more than I can ever say. He was a wonderful guy, a unique individual.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
Big Band Sunday night on Zoomer Radio. K-Star's Unforgettable, Side by Side. My older brother John used to say Side by Each. My older brother John was such a fine dancer, in fact, an outstanding dancer, that if things weren't going well on in the dance floor, the band would strike up a couple of my brother's favorites to lure him onto the floor with some lucky gal to show off for about 6 minutes. He was really that good. He was also the best backup in the event that his young brother was involuntarily forced into a bout of fisticuffs.
You're listening to I Remember George Ginescu here on Zoomer Radio AM 740. I'm Frank Proctor. And on the line is George's younger brother, Don Ginescu, retired school principal. Don, how much younger were you than George, and where'd you guys grow up?
Well, I was 6 years younger, and we grew up in Timmins.
Oh, he was always a proud northern boy, wasn't he?
He sure was.
Right. What was it like being the younger brother to George?
Well, he was tolerable most of the time. But he was my hero, but he really put a lot of pressure on me as I got closer to high school. And none of the older four brothers went on to university, and they all knew that I was going, come hell or high water. And so that pressure was always there. But it's all positive, of course.
Yeah. When did that deep voice of his make an appearance? How old was he when his voice changed?
Well, you know, to me, it was always like that. But I would say when he was in high school, he hosted a high school radio show. And I think he just, first of all, consciously started to lower his voice, and then it happened.
This happened naturally.
Naturally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if I could ask you, what's your favorite memory of George?
Oh, dear. So many. So many. Some of the stories that he would tell about things. He knew how to pull my chain when he would introduce me. He would say, "That's my little brother. That's my kid brother." Didn't say younger brother.
Yeah, kid brother.
And just putting in the knife.
Yank your chain, huh?
And I always, of course, came back at him with stuff where he would laugh. See, he was 6'3" and I was 5'7", so I couldn't get physical with him. So it's hard to pinpoint one thing, Frank, just the whole lifetime of things.
Yeah, he was a most impressive man, wasn't he?
He sure was.
Zoomer Radio, I Remember George Ginescu. To share your memories of George, call 416-360-0740 or toll free 1-866-740-4740.
Frank Proctor here, and it's been such a delight to share the studio with George's son, Robin. And boy, haven't we had a great night thus far?
It's been awesome. It's just been so much fun.
And the good news is that George's voice will continue to be heard here on AM 740 every Sunday night for the foreseeable future.
It's funny, you had Uncle Don on there, and I started to think about the humor that runs through the family.
Yeah.
You know, Don and I have had a deadpan thing that's gone on for 15 years, but we had everything. We had the deadpan, the Martin and Lewis, the Abbott and Costello, the old vaudeville. The one we didn't get was the practical joke. George hated that. I only ever did it to him once, and it led to the story. It's about the second time he hung the phone up on me.
Oh, tell us.
Well, I'm 22 years old, okay? Now, George leaves me a note in the morning. Now, this isn't a regular father, right? A regular father writes, son, gone to the grocery store, then I'm like, you know, see you shortly. No, no. This is a novella now. Son, I have gone to the groceria to collect, you know, provisions for the coming week. After completing this task, I shall return to the house where I will attempt to have a rather large bowel movement before departing for the studio. You got to remember, right? This is a guy that's had a history of stomach. I mean, this thing's going on and on. Not shocking to me. I've lived this my whole life.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, it's kind of funny. So I'm thinking, okay, big deal, Dad. I look around. He's got the script for the show that night laying around. Now, it's formatted very similar to the one we have tonight. It's got all of the artists, all the music. There's a running time clock along the side.
Right.
So at 1:47, I know the show starts at 8. So at 1:47, that means at 9:47, whatever's on here is going on the air. But it's typical George Jedeski, right? It's only prompts. It's never
written out in full.
Right, because he doesn't ever want it to sound like it's coming off a teleprompter.
Yeah.
So it's typically song, artist, you know, arranger. It'll be formatted something just to give him a prompt so he can give you a little bit of a blurb leading you to the next one. It's in 4-segment blocks. So I think, all right, I got you, old man. Jimmy Dorsey, Dinah Washington, the sublime Bloody Rich. Sorry, Buddy Rich. Forgive me. I can't remember the artist. I mean, it's 30 years ago. I don't have the archive, right? I'm just doing it for the... So don't email into the show and say, Buddy Rich never played with Jimmy Dorsey. It doesn't matter. So I take a marker. Find, you know, felt tip pen. I cross it out. So now it's the Black Sabbath Orchestra, Ozzy Osbourne, the sublime Geezer Butler. Gotcha. Right? And then I'm thinking, wait a second. This is the Alamo, right? This is what puts bread on the table. You can't get him in trouble. It's the place you don't go. Right? So he has to catch it. So I do it in a way that he's going to catch it. But when he gets to that part of the script, he fumbles, which he never did. He was so fast up. But there's like a pause and a of the throat. Then he goes, Jimmy Dorsey, Dinah Washington, the sublime Buddy Rich. Poof, thank God. So then the phone rings. Hello, Dad. You little so-and-so. Are you crazy? I almost ran that crap in the air. What are you thinking? On and on and on. Bang. Hilarious. Last time I ever did. Did I ever tell you when we went to adopt you, I wanted a dog. Your mother had to talk me into it. Don't ever do that again. Bang. Hangs up the phone. That was the last practical joke I ever played.
Robin Genescu. You know, a lot of you were listening earlier this afternoon to Vintage Favorites, and I see that the host of that show, Gene Stevens, has just walked into the station, and we're going to have him on the air in just a couple of minutes. Wow, good stuff. Meantime, let's go back to the phone.
Oh, Frank, it's Sharon. I just wanted to say I was there yesterday, and I met you, and Shirley, it was wonderful, and to listen to Robin give that eulogy, his dad would be so proud, because I cried, I laughed, and I thought about the important things in life that George, that meant so much to George. And I thought about my time with him. I met him at the Italian bakery and was going to just stop in and say hello, but he graciously invited me to sit down, and we chatted for, I bet, an hour. And I listen every week. I'm there every week listening to the show and calling in when I can. I call in every time to vote for and double up. That was so much fun. But also I would chat. I would phone and just chat with George, and he was always so welcoming. The man was so dear. He had such a sense of humor, but he was so kind and compassionate, and he knew the music inside and out. He is going to be so missed.
Thank you very much for calling.
There are songs that have an impact on one. In my case, one of those is Willow, Weep for Me. Don't know why. Annie Rennell, I think that's her name, wrote both words and music, and that was back in 1932. Very melancholy. I've tried to understand why. Was it difficult time in my life? Was it the singer? The first time I heard this was 1947, and it was by Miss June Christie with Stan Kenton. A time I was just 13 or 14, as was infatuated with beautiful Merle. Merle was a school gal. We were at Metagami School together. You see, I don't remember details. She was a year older than me, I believe. She joyfully playing fell in the snow, and I saw Bambi. She never knew I existed among the 600 students at that public school. Maybe that's how far back it goes. I might find the answer on Zoomer Radio's Big Band Sunday Night. I don't think so, really.
Well, joining us in studio tonight in this very special broadcast, a commemorative broadcast for George Ionescu, is Gene Stevens, the guy that actually hired him here at the station. Boy, that's a long time ago,
Thank you for having me, Frankie. Yes, George is one of the originals, the original team that put AM 740 on the air in January of 2001.
Tell me how that happened.
Well, you know, he came to us with big man. Oh, he was a big guy. When he walked through the door the first time, whoa! So that's the first impression you get. But very quickly, we sat down, chatted about his background, and he had an existing show at a great radio station in Barrie called Che FM, where he was doing BBSN, Big Band Saturday Night.
Right.
And what he was looking for was a way to get a larger audience, and AM 740 had just signed on with this 50,000-watt clear channel station. So, of course, we had the chance to give him the Toronto audience, which is what he was looking for. What we were looking for was an expert that could bring that that knowledge and that personal involvement with the big band era.
I mean, you couldn't have selected anybody better.
He was brilliant. He knew the stuff. He lived the stuff. And you know what? He had curated personal music library.
Uh-huh.
That sealed the deal, because not only was he great, but he brought to us a music library that we ourselves didn't have at the time. So it was a no-brainer. George Ionescu had to become part of AM 740. And what a delight it was to have him on board, because he was full of stories. He was a gentleman.
Oh, absolutely.
A gentleman.
Yes.
And you could hear that in every show he did. In almost every break, he showed a kind of old-school quality in his broadcasting style, but also he had a respect for the listener.
He had just an ability to connect with the audience,
course.
Didn't he?
Connection, huge word.
Yeah.
And George was just a master at that. So it's a sad time for us here this past week, of course. But there's also a sense that I have, and some of us have shared this already, that it's wonderful that he was able to, in his mid-80s, still do what he loved to do,
mm-hmm.
and that this radio station was not only blessed, but thanks to our founder, Moses Neimer, who believes in, you know, staying young as long as you can and doing what you can. Keep on doing what you're doing, right?
Gave him that platform.
We gave him that platform. So he was doing what he wanted to and what he loved to do right to the very end. And not many people in their mid-80s can say that.
That's for sure.
So, brilliant.
Now, there's another name that you want to bring up.
Oh,
Tom Rivers. Tell
That's
me the
right.
story there.
Quickly here, Tom, of course, Shotgun Tom Rivers, was another legend in the radio business, also dearly departed, and he made his name at Chum and CFTR, but also a lot of radio stations across the United States. And he worked in Toronto several times. We were very fortunate to have, during one of his periods of unemployment, the chance to bring him aboard our station to do a Saturday Night Oldies show. Because around that time, the Toronto music scene changed with 1050 Chum dropping their oldies format, going to sports. So there was no station doing oldies. So we started adding some more rock and roll oldies to the sound of AM 740. And Tom Rivers came over to host the Saturday Night Oldies show, which is why George eventually moved from Saturday to Sunday night. BBSN became a Sunday night show.
Right.
And Tom Rivers and I were talking one day and about his past, where, you know, he's growing up in northern Michigan, and he dropped this name. He said, you know, when I was a kid, I was listening to this guy in the Sioux, in Sioux St. Marie, called George Ginescu. I fell in love with radio because of George. George is the reason one of the most famous rock and roll disc jockeys, Tom Rivers, got into the business, because George was doing rock and roll radio in the Sioux.
Wow.
Of course, this is a long time ago, in the early 60s. But I thought it was fascinating that we had two giants of radio, one Saturday night shotgun Tom Rivers, and the guy who inspired him to get into the business in the first place on Sunday night, George Ginescu.
Oh, I'm so glad you told that story.
Wasn't that great?
Boy.
We were so fortunate to have both of them.
You bet. That's Gene Stevens. And, of course, you can catch him right here on AM 740. Vintage Favorites, Sundays at 2.
Right thank here. You very much, Frankie.
Oh, thank you, Gene.
I Remember George Ginescu with Frank Proctor on Zoomer Radio.
And I will remember this show forever, I'm telling you. Robin Ginescu, George's son, is in the studio. We'll have more chats about his growing up, being the young guy underneath the tutelage of George. Got some great stuff yet to hear. But right now, I think we got to head to the phone lines. Somebody's got a story for us out there. What do you got, sir?
Oh, I wanted to share a story about George and I.
Absolutely.
When he lived in Barrie, we were both at the supermarket up in Sobeys.
Okay.
And I was coming out with my groceries, and at the time I was on some crutches, and these four guys, they surrounded me. They were drinking. They were kids about 19 or 22, and they all had like bottles in their hands, and they wanted to take my groceries, or some of my groceries, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen. It was who walked under the Sobeys of George. He seen the commotion, so he walks over. What's going on here? So one of these smart guys, he says, none of your business. He looked around. He looked at George and said, whoa, what a mountain of a man. He didn't see him at first, eh? And George says, you better leave this guy alone and let him go home to his wife and kids. All four of those guys, when they seen George, they left immediately, right? But I thought I'd share that there because I'm not sure what would have happened if those guys would have did something bad to me or took my groceries or something. But it wasn't for George. Things turned out differently.
I can tell you exactly what would happen. If he hadn't managed to stop those guys, he would have taken you back into that store, replaced all those groceries and probably a couple more, and paid for it out of his own pocket, and then he would have made sure you got home safe.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not a cost to him at all. He would have just did that out of the goodness of his heart. That's the kind of man he was.
BBSN on Zoomer Radio is Lost in the 50s tonight. And in the 50s, my blabbing on would not have been tolerated. So I'll back off. If only I could speak to the loves, the romances, the heartbreaks. But I must not take up time. If only I could remember Barbara's name from Long Island. Not much of a skater, but oh boy. There I go. That's if only Vion Page was 1 year younger and me 2 years older. What a passion there would have been. Oh, the music. Eileen Barton's big hit was If I Knew You Were Coming, I'd have baked a cake. My mom could bake a prune cake with icing half an inch thick and shredded coconut on top. Glorinda Williams absolutely could not resist her cake and the few crumbs left after our picnic at the Onor Beach. She would write me from California, but I do have to focus. The four freshmen, Little Girl Blue, Sonia Boradowitz from Austria, wore a blue costume that blew all the guys away. and Joe Stafford. First time I heard a girl's name Joe. Oh, hell, there I go again. Miss Stafford had another hit in the 50s with Shrimp Boats.
It's all about the food, Mr. George, huh?
Every time. I mean, he was nothing if not consistent.
Yeah. You know, Robin, you and I really have just recently met, but we have had a similar experience in our lives. And, you know, a number of callers have commented on the fact how much you sound like your old man, like George. Would it surprise you folks to know that Robin was adopted?
Yeah. People don't believe it. We look the same.
Yep.
The physicality is the same. Tall, dark, lean.
Throwing handsome.
We look like father and son. We always have.
Yeah.
You were up at the house shortly after you reunited with your daughter.
Yes, that's right.
I could see the joy on your face because I recognized it for what it was. So when it happened to me, and you know, Frank, how emotional this is for people. I mean, you recount the story in the grocery store. The people are leaving in tears. It just got to the point where I couldn't tell it anymore. I mean, I couldn't be rolling down the aisle in Zara's with a cart full of bagels and orange juice and be in tears at the cashier. It was just awkward. It just, you couldn't function. But when it happened, it's so raw, it's so emotional. I go up to Sault Ste. Marie in 2004, okay? I'm meeting Mom now for the first time at 40 years old. Now, Karen is adopted as well from another family. But I'm having this experience because my boy Nick wants to know what our nationality is, okay? So it turns out we're Italian. I'm up there, I've got 25 Italians in Mom's kitchen, and they're all 5'4". Except for my Uncle Joe, who's unfortunately sick at the time and dying, but I'm so glad we got to meet. He's the mirror image. I mean, he and I look more alike than George and I. I mean, it's an unbelievably emotional experience, but I realized the conversation, it keeps spinning around, and thank God for George. You know, when we did this, thank God for George. I had a skeleton key to every house in Sault Ste. Marie for the first 18 years of my life. I just go in and say, hi, I'm George Genescu's son. George's boy. Oh, my God. You're George. I'd see the banquet where my daughter won the MVP in the Junior Lacrosse League 3 years ago. Come on into the house. You want something to eat? Louise, put on some cutlets. George's boy's here. I mean, Karen, too. Same thing. So I now find myself here facing my family, my extended family, for the first time, and I have to explain what it's like to be George's boy. I'm looking at my mother. Her physicality is changing. Okay, this weight that she's been carrying around has dissipated and gone out the window. What a gift. What an absolute gift.
Beautiful. Thank you for relating that. It's just such a treat to have you with us here tonight as we salute your dad, George Genescu. Well, I first met George at the home of a mutual friend, Peter Grostert. Now, Peter and I go all the way back to when I worked for CFGM in Richmond Hill, and he was involved with Big Brothers, and I had occasionally help him out with publicity for the organization. Anyway, we reconnected about 4 years ago, and he invited me out to his home just before Christmas. Well, when I arrived, there was George Genescu sitting there in a big comfy chair, munching on some crackers. And I love the guy right from the get-go. Peter's on the line right now. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Frank.
Tell me, how did you meet George?
Well, I met George up in Gravenhurst. A mutual friend,
Jack Hutton,
Jack Hutton did a program up there called Jack and Sons at the Gravenhurst Opera House. And we'd gone across the road prior to the show to have dinner with the boys, and this stranger was there, stranger to me, but it turned out to be George. And we talked then and later on, and so I invited George, if he wished, to stop by and say hello one day on his way down to work, which he did. And he, I guess, liked it so much, he came every Sunday without fail, usually around 1 o'clock and left at 5 o'clock. My wife would feed and water him, get him ready to go.
and clean up the crumbs from all the crackers.
Yeah, after the dog got his shot first. But, yeah, every Sunday. If he missed twice a year, that was a lot.
Yeah.
He was here all the time, and we loved him. And we enjoyed all the stories he had to tell us from things he'd done in his lifetime. It I think one of the stories that I really enjoyed was how he arrived in Canada.
Oh, tell us that one.
George's family came out to Saskatoon, I guess, just outside Saskatoon, but they couldn't afford to bring George, so they said they would send the money. And sure enough, I think a year, year and a half later, when George was 10 or 11, they were able to forward enough money that the relatives could buy him a ticket on a tramp steamer.
That was from Romania, right?
From Romania, yeah.
Yeah.
So off he goes on this tramp steamer with a name and details pinned to his shirt, I guess. And the steamer first port of call was in South America, and then it works its way up along the East Coast and eventually wound up in Montreal. At that point, the Sally Ann, I guess, got a hold of him somehow. They bought him a train ticket to Saskatoon. He got off in Saskatoon, and somebody there offered to take him out to where his parents were. So away he goes in the car, and he's looking out the window. All of a sudden, he yells, "Stop, that's my dad." So that's how George first arrived in Canada. And then from there, they moved to Timmins. And he would tell stories about his mom and dad and how hard they worked. But, you know, also, he had a great respect for those who went to war. And he participated every year at a service. And this year was the first year that George was unable to attend a service. He just wasn't feeling up to it. I would ask everybody, all your listeners, to, if they would, somewhere during the program, to charge their glass and just raise a toast to our pal George. And do it with your left hand if you wouldn't mind, because it's closer to your heart.
This is Zoomer Radio, CFZM FM and CFZM AM, owned and operated by MZ Media Incorporated.
Hey, boy, we're running out of racetrack, huh? Robin Ginescu, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Frank, it was such a pleasure. You know, there's a void here for all of us. Karen and I have lost our dad. You've lost a dear friend and colleague. Justin and Ian have lost a mentor. Dad wouldn't want you to linger on that. There's a four-hour block now that was a happy place for a lot of people.
That's right.
He would want you to still make it a happy place. You find a way to go out and fill it with joy.
Okay.
That's what he'd do.
Perfect. And a reminder that BBSN with George will continue next Sunday. So, until next Sunday night at 7.
I'm George Ginescu, left with the need and the want to say, I can't, I won't stop loving you.